It's December 30th, 1988. I'm interviewing Harvey Chamberlain about farm life, and I'm Michelle Fitzgerald. What do you remember about farm life and growing up?
Well, it was all done by horses back in the 30s. Very few farmers had tractors, so probably close to the 40s. And everything was small, farms were small. And everything was done with horses. And planted everything with horses and worked the ground with horses and cut the grain with a binder and shocked it, thrashed it out of the field. Prices were very low. I don't know when months and prices here. Well, this is back in the 30s, and wheat was 75 cents a bushel. Corn was 61 cents. Oats, 33. White beans were $2.72. And milk was about a dollar and a half in the wintertime. That was base milk. In summertime, when the surplus of milk, it was about $1 a hundred. And the hay was down to about a little over $9 a ton. Apples were 72 cents a bushel. Dairy cows were from $125 to $150 a piece. Deacon calves were $6 a piece. Beef cows were about $5.60 a hundred. Something different than
that. Yeah.
And eggs were 18 cents a dozen. And they looked up what it was in 41. Wheat was $1.15. Corn was 88 cents, oats were 51, gone up almost 20 cents a bushel. White beans were hadn't quite doubled and was $4.45. And milk, base milk was $2.56. Beef had gone up to $10 a hundred. Eggs had gone up to 31 cents a dozen. And these were all from records that were kept in the college at that time. The average income in the 1930 to 1940 was $2,763. That's the average. But the low group was $69. So things were pretty hard back there in the 30s. That's all I've got about.
Okay, Jane, I wanted to ask you. What are the deacon calf? What were they?
$6.
What were they, like, special kind of calves?
No, just Holstein deacon calves. So.
Okay.
Small calves.
What was base milk, or was it?
3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Three-five butterfat was what that was based on.
And it didn't care for the whole calf, I mean, not the pound.
Yeah, that was probably weighed around 100 pounds when they were sold. But back then, if you didn't raise them for beef, you sold them to some farmer bought them, raised them for beef or something like that.
Can you tell me what you remember about the different jobs you had?
Well, I graduated in 31, and I worked that fall for $1 a day, out helping other farmers. It didn't get much better for several years. And we, of course, I worked on the farm, and I started raising colts and help with the income in 34. And 34 to 40, and there's two or three colts every year. And then by 40, they got so they weren't worth very much, so I went to a few more cows. I cut grain and shot grain and thrashed out of the field. And yeah, I done everything that, you know, that it took to do farming. And 1940, we bought our first tractor. Bought it for $800. And back in 38, we bought a new car from Chevrolet, two door, for $800. So, because that $800 was about hard to come by. It was several thousand dollars.
Little interesting thing on the prices that cost to buy groceries. I have an old grocery buyer in the store. You don't know any buyers. Grocery bill. Excuse me. And we took, or they took this. Well, yeah, we were.
Yeah, we were married in 37.
24 dozen eggs to sell for the store, and you get 27 cents a dozen. So that brought the $6.48. Then we had a whole list of groceries there, and they all came for $2.54. Can you believe? And subtracting that, we had $3.94, and their groceries. But some of the prices was starch, laundry starch, 28 cents. Coffee, 24 cents a pound. 2 pounds of butter for 78 cents. Cheese, 29 cents. Salmon, can of salmon, 33 cents. Grapefruit, 25 cents. And bread, 13 cents.
Like, when you graduated, was that from high school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did, like, you go to school all year, just, like, not go in the winter? Like,
no, I went all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were the farms easier to manage back then than they are today, or is it easier today?
Well, probably a little more, it was more physical labor back then than it is today. There's a lot of book work now and a lot of planning. And
didn't use any sprays then. A lot of things have to be planned now.
Did the women help a lot on the farm?
Oh, yes.
What kind of things did they do?
You want me to tell about that?
I have to be careful now.
Well, we hadn't been married too long and had a piece of ground to get ready to put in oats, and we had to drag, we called it, it was spring two, four-horse team, and he was busy getting the oats ready to plant, so he set me up in this field across there to drag with that team. Of course, then you just walked behind the drag, you didn't ride in. So he said, now there's a wet spot down in that corner, and you be careful and don't get the team into it, or they'll go down. Well, anyway, I did it, and I was so scared every minute that the chain was going to rip down and get tangled up.
There was a pair of two-year-old colts in that 4 hours hitch, too.
So, I'm impressed to help you. Anything you want to do, it's good.
Done most of the garden work, all the garden work, I think.
And the tractor's came, of course, the tractor.
Are there more responsibilities now for a farm? Or is it there's a more back there?
Well, probably the responsibility is about the same. You had to plan to do a lot of figuring to make ends meet, the same as you have to now. If you have now, you have computers and calculators, a little more help to do the planning.
What was the inside of the house like?
A lot plainer, I guess you'd say. We didn't have the mechanical things to help that you have in houses now. Didn't have electric stoves.
We got electricity in the 30s, or there was electricity in the 30s. For that course, there's maps, but they had electricity. Wired a house for electricity for you, maybe?
31, you get electricity here. But,
it was a long time before we got all the gadgets, so we used the electricity on. Mostly, we thought electricity just was lights.
Back then, you had to coal or wood. Usually cut the wood out of your own woodlot.
Had a kitchen range to cook on, which used coal and wood.
Did you have like a large kitchen? Quite large for that?
Same too.
Yeah.
So,
9 by 16 it was.
9 by 15. Not a real large kitchen. Your house is just like it was mostly. You did build on it.
This house was probably more than 100 years old.
Was there indoor plumbing? Anything on the roof?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't have that thing. Oh. So. Almost 8 in the 40s.
49 probably had the indoor plumbing. We had water inside before that.
No bathroom.
No bathroom. We had inside water ever since I can remember. I don't know whether it was in when I was born or not, but I can't remember when we didn't have.
You had gas in
the pump. Yeah, good gas in the pump. We had a pipe running all over the barn. There were 2 houses, of course, this house was over there then.
Did the family buy like many products to raise most of the vegetables and stuff?
Raised most of our vegetables, but in our own meat, had our own milk, of course.
Like, what were the clothing back then?
About the same as now, except when he's in the bird slot. We always wore a dress. Always a dress and apron.
About the same as they are now, as far as that goes.
What can you tell me about planting the harvest and other activities you have planned?
Well, it was back in the 30s, it was all done with horses, and by 1940, people were getting tractors. I think we'd done our first combining in about 42 with a combine. We didn't own a combine, but
we used to have thrashing crews to feed. The woman's job, but not those in the end. Ready?
You had dairy cows?
Yes.
Did you have to milk them by hand?
No, we did for a while. We milked by hand for quite a few years.
For many years?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about a funny experience that happened on the farm?
Something to worry about getting in there.
No, not back then.
I thought you rode down the lane.
Oh.
One day after it rained.
That was after the electricity. That was in about 41 or 42. We pastured the cows across the road, and after the rain, I rode a horse down the lane after the cows one afternoon, and we had a electric fence crossing the overhead over the lane, and I thought I was under it, but I was close enough to it, so I got a shock and went through the horse. And sorry, the horse took off. I guess that's about it. I stayed with it, but that was about as funny as I can remember.
At the moment, it probably wasn't funny.
No, it wasn't too funny at the moment. But felt like somebody hit me over the head with a club.
How many acres were the farm?
Well, back then it was 80 acres. We had 80 acres. They, most of them, I would say, probably run from 80 to 120. Very few large farms back then. So all the work had to be done with horses till tractors started coming in.
And almost everybody worked their own farm. And instead of a few renting and working other farms and having huge amounts of acreage like they do now, so much.
When we moved into this house in 1937, there was no insulation at all in the side walls. When this house was built in the 1800s, there was woods all around to help keep the house warm when the winter winds. We had four outside doors which let in the cold, and there was a Michigan basement, which is just a dugout place in the underneath the house. And there was no stairs to down the basement. It went in from the outside. There was a cement slab laid on the ledge underneath the house for canned goods.
I put my canned goods on that, and So all the, everything I canned had to be, you had to jump down and go down an incline of dirt to get into the basement. And I did that with well over 100 quarts of canned goods every year. In the winter, that was closed up to keep the cold out. Excuse me. And there was a ladder down from a trap door in a bedroom. And you lift the trap door and you climb down the ladder to get down after canned goods as you needed them. At one time going down the ladder, I stepped off at the bottom onto ice. The water had come in and it was frozen. Also, I had some frozen canned goods. There was a stone wall under the house, and when that crumbled, we moved the house over and onto a wall over a basement. We wanted the house closer to the barn and Harvey's work. Since then, as we could afford it, which took a lot of years, we improved the house, got it insulated, and some doors out, and gradually, over the 50-odd years, it's the way it is now.
Of keeping our own nerves kind of calm, though, at the same time, you know, is by, you know, saying stuff to, you know, talking, like, you know, hey, it's happening, you might as well believe that something is happening, so you might as well cope with it the best you can.
Now, when you say something, would it continue or would it stop, or?
Nah,
they don't. They'd keep on going.
Okay. Oh, yeah, as far as anything like that, it never seemed to bother.
Now,
you know, it done what it wanted to do, and
yeah,
that was all there was to it. It was there, you know, it was a presence.
Now, whenever you heard it, it'd only be just one that you would hear.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Did anything like that, like what he said, the footsteps, ever happen to you, or anything like that? Like, because, well, would you be at home by yourself?
Uh-huh.
Anything like that ever happen to you?
Yeah. It's like he'd be out in the kitchen doing dishes or something, and you'd hear something going on. It's like some kind of shuffle out in the entryway, you go out there and look, and there'd be nothing there. You know, Jeremiah, he wasn't old enough to walk yet, so he knew it wasn't him. And you kind of look, and you kind of get this weird feeling. And at first, you know, I wouldn't look around. I'd just like, okay, you know, go back and do what I was doing, you know? But, you know, after it didn't bother me after a while.
Because I'd come home from work, and she'd be sitting there going, you know, and tell little things like, you know, well, I heard this and that, and carry on about it, and I sit there and go, uh-huh, sure, down, yeah, right. This is before anything had happened to me, like, you know, and I'd say, right, you know.
Thought I was going nuts.
And the first time you were bent, you really thought that there was something. When would you say that was? When Kurt had, that was.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. Now, when you were, like, at the house, you know, like, the house itself, like, outside the yard and stuff, anything ever happened to you, like, were you outside or was just in the house?
Just in the house. Wow. And never in the basement, neither. I never had nothing happen while I was downstairs.
How many floors were there?
It was the basement, the main floor, and upstairs.
Was there an attic or anything like that?
There was an attic above that, too, yeah. And a small little door, a walk-in attic.
Oh.
Off to the one side. It was a big old house, big old. A little smack of, you know, brick on.
I remember, it was all wood inside, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the. Wasn't there a fireplace in the?
No.
No, we always had a wood stove and stuff.
Oh, but okay. I don't know. Now, your mom and dad, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. Did they believe anything? I mean, did they believe you when you talk about it? Did anything ever happen to them where they would, you know, have reason to believe?
My mom is a believer, I guess you'd say. You know, like, because they, you know, the place that they live in is an old cemetery.
Oh, that's right. They live, yeah. It's an Indian
cemetery. No, it's just an old cemetery.
Oh, I thought, I couldn't remember if Nikki said it was a burial ground or
no,
just a regular cemetery.
They always used to think that. the kids.
That's why.
Thought it was an Indian burial ground and stuff, but no, it was just a regular old cemetery. And I'd had experiences there, or, you know, one good one.
Really?
And like, yeah, seen what I was a ghost there.
What happened?
Mom and Dad were gone up north and seen relatives and left me home for a weekend.
How old were you at the time?
About 18, 19.
Wow.
And came home from work, and we left early, got out early and stuff like that, and came home. And at that time, Wolfman Jack was on the radio at midnight out of Chicago on WLS out of Chicago, and he'd always come on right at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember driving my car into the shed, and the radio was on, you know, and it was saying that, you know, stay tuned for the Wolfman Jack hour, you know, it's 1 minute to midnight or something like this, you know.
Midnight.
Yeah, this is the part of the guy, you know, got it, you know. So I don't know whether this stuff sets your mind in motion or what happened, you know, but I mean, it's just, you know, it was 1 minute to midnight, you know, and old Wolfman, he always come on with his big howl and stuff like that, you know. So I'm sitting there getting out of the car, and I thought, well, you know, Dad, he's gone, so I might as well put the car in the garage, you know, first, you know, big deal, you know. So I rolls in there, and I shuts the door, and it's a really super nice spring day, you know, and you know where my folks' shed is out there, that metal one where they park the truck and stuff. So I pulls my car in there, rolls the door shut, and nice spring night, nice and warm like it was last night, you know, and like just, put my coat over my shoulder and took a few steps toward the house, and it just like, it's almost like, you know, instantly it turned midnight or something, you know, kind of a deal, you know, and the frogs and crickets and stuff were croaking and carrying on, and they just quit, just like instant nothing, no sound at all, you know. And I'm standing there in the middle of the yard going, you know, because it's just an unnatural thing for, you know, everything to quit. And it's like you could hear this real fine wind chimes, like glass tinkling, you know, the wind chime. They just tinkle, tinkle, tinkle away, you know. And I'm standing there in the yard, and out of the corner, which would be my mother and father's bedroom, there's a, it just, specter or whatever you want to call it, came right out, like right out of the wall,
out
through
the house?
Yeah, out of the house, and went from there over to that blue spruce that's in the middle of the circle driveway there, went from the corner of the house over to there and was gone. It went behind the tree and was gone, and it was like a cameo, white cloud cameo effect that was a few feet off the ground, a couple feet off the ground at the most. And it just, nothing moved, but you could see that there was a figure of something in there, you know, a person. And like in this misty type white cloud, and it just floated across and went behind that tree and was gone. And, you know, once it was gone, the wind chime sensation or sounds quit, and all of a sudden the frogs and crickets and everything else were croaking and chirping and carrying on again.
Oh my gosh.
And I, you know, and I sit there and I and had nothing to drink or anything such as that, you know, at all. And that, it just, there I was standing in the yard looking at this thing, you know, and it was really smart because I ran to the house like crazy, you know, and unlocked the door, ran in there, went right into Dad's bedroom and got his pistol out of the cupboard upstairs and went upstairs in my bed and laid there in the, you know, with a pistol under my pillow. And I thought, you know, the next day when I, you know, woke up, as I thought, well, that's real bright, you know, go get a pistol to shoot something that's dead.
Oh my God. Think about it, it is dead.
You know, yeah. You know, but at the time, I'm going, I'm going to protect myself, you know, something's here, you know.
You were exposed to it then.
Yeah.
Now, was that the only time something ever happened to you living
in the home? It's the only time anything ever happened to me when I lived at home. And I mentioned stuff to my mom, and mentioned it to my mom like a couple years later and stuff. And she kind of hesitantly said that things had happened. You know, she felt there was something around there different times too. Huh. It's like she didn't want to admit to it, but yet,
yeah. Yeah, because that knowing what people would think probably.
Yeah, you're kind of weird over here, you know?
Oh my, that's not, at home and...
And down there.
In the old, that was the only place that anything like that ever happened to you.
Yeah, as far as I really remember.
Those are kids walking outside on the floor. That's the door.
That's your shoes clicking.
I'm going to take a break for a second. Okay. The ghost, did it ever, like, try to, was it, like, nice, or did it ever try to harm any of the kids or any of the animals or anything like that in any way?
No, he didn't try to hurt anything.
No, it always just messed with you, it was all just...
Kind of like teasing.
That was teasing.
Yeah, it was just making his presence known.
Now, when you had, like, if you had company or stuff like that, or even if it was family, did it ever appear like that? I mean, I know, like you said, Kurt, but he had been living in the house at the time.
It didn't, to a couple friends and stuff.
But to everybody.
Yeah, because we had people come over and say, yeah, sure, you got a ghost, and non-believers or...
And it wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, you'd never hear nothing out of it. But then just all of a sudden, it would just, sometimes it'd make noise and sometimes it wouldn't.
We've had people stay up in that room overnight.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't hear a sound out of it.
You first started realizing, started thinking that someone was there, was Jeremiah ever afraid to go into the house?
Mm-mm. No.
Were you ever afraid to go into the house?
It made you wonder now and then.
Yeah.
Not me. You weren't even there yet.
Now, does anything, out of the ordinary happen where you are now?
No.
Since the place burned down, it's like it just...
I wonder.
He was gone or whatever. As far as we know, I've never stayed back down there or anything. We've got friends that live there, but they know. They don't ever say nothing about it.
I wonder what happened. If they left and went to a different house, or did you ever have any friends that did believe and had talked about something like that even happening to them? Do you ever know?
A spider.
Anybody else that's happened to them?
Mm-hmm. His was more or less.
A friend of mine. He had a destructive ghost in his house.
Destructive?
Yeah. They spent one whole weekend putting the ceiling up in his house, and they said they was going to go, they had it almost all done, and one of those hanging ceilings and stuff with the tracks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They went down to the bar, and when they came back home, the whole ceiling and stuff and everything, nails that they'd hammered in to hold the ceiling and into the walls and the nails and everything were popped right out of the walls, and the ceiling's laying on the floor and across the furniture and everything else, and the whole suspended ceiling, just like all the nails had just popped right out, and it was all laying down on the floor and stuff and everything.
Yeah.
And these guys have verified that this didn't take place, because there's a couple of them that was there. Walked back into the house, and they'd spent the whole weekend up on ladders putting this stuff all up, and they went down to the bar for a couple hours. When they came home, the whole ceiling was just all over the floor.
Oh my God.
You do things like mess with the lights,
mm-hmm.
turn the TV and stereo on and off.
No, at the other guy's place. This is down in Bancroft, this guy was. Because, when he was telling me about it, I thought, too,
Is this before you realized?
Before we'd moved into this place.
Oh, before you moved
into He was telling about it. This stuff can't happen.
Is that the only thing he ever did turn?
Oh, it turned lights on all the time. He'd no more get in bed. He'd just about ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden TV would pop on, and stereo would come on, or lights would flash on in the house and stuff, and you get them, walk through and turn them off, and a couple minutes later it'd be right back on and stuff.
Did he ever see?
He said that something came to him the one night in his sleep, woke him up. I stood there and woke him up. He said, he said it took form of another guy, a buddy of ours. He says it looked just like this other guy came. Woke him up, wanting him to get up and party and stuff like that, and he's I got to work in the morning, and what are you doing coming to my house anyway, and all this crap. And this guy was nowhere around at the time. You know, he lived in a completely another town. And
he'd never lived in a house or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Was he was still alive? Yes.
This other character that come in, you know. That,
yeah.
But he says, yeah, it looked just like this guy.
He talked to it?
Yeah, he talked with it. He said, you know, his son talked to it all the time. He says a lot of times he'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd hear Matthew, his son, in his bedroom talking away. And he'd, you know,
how old was his son?
At the time, his son was only about Jeremiah's age, like, you know, 5, 6 years old. But he says he used to talk to him all the time. You know, he'd wake up in the middle of the night and his boy's light would be on and he'd go to the door and kind of listen without looking in or anything. He'd walk up and you'd hear him in there sitting there talking. He'd be just rattling away and talking like he was carrying on a conversation with somebody that was sitting right there with him.
My gosh. Yours had never tried to do anything.
No, it was never really communicated except for the noise making and rambunctiousness, you know, running around and making noise and making
I mean, like, I have 4 horses and I have to go out in the morning. During the winter, I hate feeding because it's always blackout. And I always have this look over my shoulder. That really frightened. I had went out one time in our backyard, and I could have sworn I'd see something. I didn't know what it was, and it scared the crap out of me because I came booking it to the house. And it looked like a silhouette or something. But up to my grandma's, I'd go. Me and my grandma used to be, I mean, just like this. We were extremely close. And Mom used to have to call Grandma and have her tell me to send me home because I practically lived with her.
Uh-huh.
Well, she died about 7 years ago. And Grandpa still lives up there. And a couple, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, I went up there to stay the night with, you know, just keeping company because he's been having some health problems. And I was downstairs, and he had went outside to get something. And I heard something upstairs. And I went up, and I didn't see anything. And, you know, I wonder, does she come to that house once in a while, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I could have sworn I'd see something. And I'd be, like, standing in my bedroom, and I'd be thinking about her. And I'd, like, catch something through the mirror. I thought, Aim, you're losing it. You know? you wonder, you know? I mean, what are people
going to... I've sat back and read quite a bit on ghosts and stuff like that, and they say actually that the ghosts or specters or whatever, you don't see them like people used to see them, and so the belief is more or less left, and like because of the lighting that we've developed, and like back when ghosts were more prominent, and like it was candles and lanterns, to where there was always the darkness in the room still, and it was always, you know, that you could see them.
Clear.
You could see them more clearly because it wasn't so well lit.
Staking a glare or something.
Yeah, like it was, you know, in the corner you could see something drift through because it was semi-lit.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, but they explain that fact, right, that, you know, as far as that goes, that it's more, well, you know, your rooms and stuff are more well lit so that this doesn't happen anymore. Actually, the ghosts are still there wandering around just like before.
It's so easy for them to say that unless they've experienced it.
Oh, right.
Like that. I mean, I've always wondered how people, you know, can write stuff about that. You know, they always explain an academic form of it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Psychological form, you know, and the reasoning and stuff like that. But if they've never experienced, how do you explain it, you know?
People could punch holes in our stories to go all over the place, probably, you know, if they really didn't want to believe and, you know, and didn't understand what, you know, or didn't care.
I'd be afraid. Stuff like, I don't know.
But, you know, if you'd been there and experienced the stuff that was going on, you'd have a whole other outlook on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd really see the facts that is there.
I don't know, that glass. How could people explain that? You know? When you first realized that there was something there, did you ever have, you know, thinking that it's just an old house, it's just noises in the house?
That's what we thought, yeah. You know, it's settling a lot. But it started, too many things were
when the glass starts breaking like that, and
it was not,
you don't find anything.
Yeah.
You can't find anything.
Now,